All right. Hey, well, what was that song that was just on?
Well, I think it was The Book I Read by the Talking Heads, which means...
What?
Oh my gosh, it's time for the book club show.
Get lit!
With your host, Erin Go Book, and...
Ape on the Dink.
How's it going today, April?
I'm well. How are you doing, Book?
Well, you know, there was a little fun learning lesson in the studio here before we came on air, so I'm doing really great and, you know, missing CDs, but we just jump over hurdles and deal with them.
Yes, we do. And I was told early on in this illustrious volunteer DJ game that dead air never killed anyone. So
that's true. I don't think anybody was hurt by the time that we just spent.
Mountain's on the floor in a fetal position, but you know, that's okay. He's going to be all right. He's young. He'll get over it.
He is amazing. He's not on the floor. He's like those amateur women. Yeah, right?
I have to say, I'm going to give my little props to our Mountain. He's amazing. We were actually listening to his show. He was doing an interview, and I looked at Book and I said, oh, is this NPR? She said, no, it's Mountain. It's Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program. It's like, wow, that's amazing when you can mistake, I don't know how I want to don't give Mountain bad, what's he, 13?
I have no idea. Yeah. He's so, I don't know. Yeah. He's like 25. What do you
mean? He is. He's 25. He's 25. But, you know, I'm not going to say anything about the way, you know, he hangs out at the elementary school or middle school or whatever.
Not like that at all. Not like that at all.
But, no, he's awesome. So, Andy Zanka, we give lots of credit to them. They do a great job.
They do. Yeah, somebody else we want to give credit to. Support for Get Lit on KDNK comes from Carbondale Beer Works, open 7 days a week, Sunday through Thursday from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m., and Friday and Saturday until midnight. Beer Works hosts numerous nonprofit events, including bingo nights and music trivia for the wonderful Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program. More info at Carbondale Beer Works on Facebook. We should probably talk about the book we read.
Okay, we did read a book.
Well, I read it like 2 months ago.
Yeah, because I did miss last month, and I apologize.
It happens.
I know it does. It happens. We are having our half hour book club show. So what is our book that we read?
Yes, last month, we read a book called Educated by Tara. I've also heard Tara. I'm not sure how she says it. Tara or Tara Westover. It's a memoir that was published in 2018. It debuted at number one of the New York Times bestseller list and was a finalist for a number of national awards. We heard a lot of good things about it and wanted to check it out.
And it was, well, it's a memoir, so it's based on some stories that happened. And it was set in Idaho. And it's funny because I know for myself, I kept thinking Utah because she does travel back and forth to Utah.
Well, they talk a lot about Mormons. Yeah, they kind of associate Mormons with Utah.
Yeah, but from what I understand, that's Idaho also has a large population of the Mormon faith. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they kind of traveled back and forth because she did end up going to BYU and stuff.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, exactly. I think the interesting thing about her life, more than being a Mormon, because, you know, they weren't polygamists or anything crazy interesting like that, was the fact that her parents, that she was the youngest of seven children and her parents lived as survivalists.
Yes, I call them preppers.
Home preppers preppers or whatever you want to call them. They all the children were born at home. None of them saw a doctor. She did not get a birth certificate until she was 9 years old.
I didn't even know was she nine? I thought she was older, but
I think she finally got one at nine years old.
I don't even know how that happens.
Yeah.
And then there was
you're having a kid out in the woods. Yeah. Who's going to
And then nobody knew when her real birthday was.
There was a discrepancy about that too. Yeah. So
that's interesting.
And then so it wasn't just like a happy, normal lifestyle either. You know, like a religious, we're just going to pray and do, you know, those kinds of things. They were kind of, her dad was, what would you call him?
He almost was.
He was abusive. Her parents were abusive and they neglected those children.
Yeah, they definitely had some issues there. But her father was very charismatic and he was almost, you know, they were very fringe. So, you know, you don't want to offend anybody and say, well, this is how this Mormon religion, you know, is. It's not. They were on the fringe. I mean, other people at their church thought they were a little different.
That's true.
You know, the way they acted about things and the way they, you know, but he was, you know, supposedly he's very charismatic and really had a lot of people ended up following him. And the family, you know, really believed what he had to say about, oh, it's the end of the world. Like in, was that 1999 that, you know, they sat there.
Oh, and, yeah. He was a big person of the Y2K thought that that, you know, God was going to come down and.
Oh, that was it.
Yeah.
It
was the world was going to be over. And then after it after Y2K did not happen, I guess, and everything kept going on.
They just didn't talk about it. Let's just not talk about
that. Oh, that didn't happen.
Yes. Yeah.
So. But and then the other thing, too, is that not only did they have like every, you know, there were always these weird car accidents where people were getting like severely injured and not going to the doctor and, you know, having head injuries for months and, you know, sleeping in the basement for years because it was dark. But they were all, quote unquote, homeschooled, although because I'm guessing Tara was the youngest, she didn't get the most attention and didn't really learn, I mean, anything. She taught herself. Yeah. Her brother taught her to read.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't until she started buying her own books and prepping for the ACT.
It was amazing that they could teach themselves to read like that. You don't think about that.
How can you teach yourself and prep yourself for the ACT? I'm sorry, I can hardly do subtraction. I can't even say it. Addition and subtraction, let alone trying to teach myself, you know, advanced, you know, algebra 2 and calculus and things like that. I don't know. Are those on the ACT? I don't
remember. Oh, no. Anymore. Yeah, that was the big thing. And the fact that, okay, so there were 7 siblings, and I believe, was it 3 of them ended up going on to get advanced degrees?
Right. I believe 3 of them became, yeah, estranged from the family after they got their education.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Well, there you go. Educated. That was.
It has multiple meanings. Go figure.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, there was just like, and they lived. There were some similarities, I guess. You know, whenever I read a book, I try to find what about a book is in my life, you know, or completely not in my life.
Sure, sure.
And one of the things was, even though they lived, they didn't live in a town, they lived near a town, they lived at the base of a mountain.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, so of course, you know, I would think of Sopris. Mm-hmm. And do you recall what the name of that mountain was? But they called it the Lady, the Gray Lady, the something Lady.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, I think it was like the Gray. It was either like the Gray or the White Lady referring to.
Yeah. And that actually went down back to like Indian lore, where at certain times of the year, it looked like an outline of a lady. And
yeah, so with the snow.
Yeah. And she often, when she wasn't at home during her travels and her education later in life, she would feel that the lady was calling her back and she needed to get home.
Right.
And my husband, who's born and raised here in Carbondale, somebody asked him one time, I don't even remember what the question was, but he said, when I see Sopris, I know I'm home. Mm. And I thought so much about that, how she talked so much about that mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And
the calling back.
The calling back of the mountain, mm-hmm. you know, and feeling, even when she didn't want to see her family,
right.
she wanted to go back and see the mountain.
The landscape, the land. So question on that. So even though she had that feeling, I've read, obviously, after I read the book, I wanted to see where she currently was. And she is estranged from her family. I don't think she speaks to her mother or father, who I kind of like tried to stalk on Facebook, kind of weird, funny thing.
You know,
I think
what?
I told you that.
No, I thought about doing that also, because she talks about.
Well, she sells her herbs on Facebook. Anyway.
They became very like.
They're millionaires, I'm pretty sure.
She talks about, well, she's pretty sure her parents are millionaires now.
Yeah.
Because at one point, the father, and if you haven't read this book, you have to remember, we're going to give you spoilers. The father catches on fire. And
really bad.
Really bad. And like basically his face melts off.
And, that sounds terrible to laugh at, but I mean, I remember the description in the book. You were just like, and you're not going to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
You're just going to put some cream on. But it like totally cured him. It took a while, but they kept lathering the mom's miracle God self. And he, you know, his skin grew back and he was doing, I mean, it was not perfect, but he was still very much alive when he, after you reading the description, should have very much been dead.
Oh, yeah. So then word got out about this miracle salve that the mom came up with. And that's when I guess I started thinking like they were almost like cultists, where people wanted to just be around them and come and work for them. And
you know, when you talk about the dead being a charismatic speaker.
Yeah. Right.
But so what are your thoughts? This brought up some, you know, topics and stuff for me. What do you think about people who decide to become estranged from their families for whatever reason? Some people think that you family's family and that should never happen. Some people say it's healthy sometimes to create those boundaries and preserve yourself. I'm just curious your personal thoughts.
Oh, well, I'm I guess I'm personally probably estranged from most of my family. So I guess I have to say that, you know, yeah, when it's, as they say, toxic and people haven't protected you, in especially as a child, or absolutely, put you in harm's way or done harm to you, it might take a long time, but I think it's a very growing and I think it's a huge experience to say, you know what? I don't want you in my life because of this.
Yeah, and I think that her I don't know about her mom per se, but I think her dad put her and her siblings the way of danger numerous times. Go up and get on that forklift while it's up in the air and you're slinging metal around, because they had a scrap yard. That's how they made money before the mom's miracle cure was getting scraps from the scrap yard.
Oh, and they made the brother, like, they would poke holes in, because they were junkers or whatever, and they would poke holes in the gas tanks and drain the gas out, and then and then porch them or something. Yeah. And one time, I guess that's how he ended up on fire. He forgot to,
I don't know, one of the brother's legs caught on fire, and she stuck him in a garbage can with water. I don't know.
Oh no, it was some crazy stuff. Like, you almost feel like, come on, are you making this up?
You would have thought that it was fiction if you didn't know that it was a memoir. And I mean, and I guess I haven't, I shame on me for not looking this up, but I know that she does a lot of interviews and goes around to different places. And I think she speaks, and this may be a part of the PTSD, but I think she speaks of all this with a pretty neutral tone, you know, not a lot of emotion. She doesn't cry. She doesn't get upset. She just kind of states the facts as they are. And I think that's a pretty heavy sign of PTSD.
And, well, so how do you feel about people estranging themselves from their family, you know, making that choice themselves?
Yeah, I think very much it's a personal choice, like so many things in our lives. You know, there are people in my life that I go into, you know, different waves of speaking or not speaking for whatever reasons. But I've been in enough of my own personal counseling to create really strong boundaries that I know, you know, I'm not going to let people step on or overdo. So, you know, let me take a quick, easy break from this heavy conversation and just let everybody know that support for Get Lit on KDNK comes from Carbondale Beer Works, offering handcrafted microbrews and local seasonal food. Today features Meatless Mondays. Woohoo!
Yeah, we're all about that.
Yeah, vegan over here. With vegetarian and vegan specials. More information at Carbondale Beer Works on Facebook.
All right. And so as we are a happy hour show, we always like to try to, you can just pop that CD in there. I'll let you know about it.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Pop it in.
Pop it in. And so since we're happy hour and we always try to like match a beverage to go with the theme of the book, it was interesting because at first we thought about, what was it we thought about? Remember? lightning?
Like bathtub gin or something terrible. Yeah. Like homemade. Moonshine. That's what we said, moonshine.
Something homemade. Something. And I said, well, let me see if I can find something, you know, that, you know, cause there's a drink out, you know, that's called a vodka press. That's actually short for vodka Presbyterian. And, you know, it's a kind of, I don't know, maybe kind of a little bit of an old fashioned drink. And I thought, well, maybe there's something out there with a Mormon name in it. No.
If she was Catholic, we could have had wine. But
see,
dang it.
I know. So everything I looked up, definitely, because, you know, as of the faith, they abstain from alcohol and caffeine. And that was one of the things when she talks about going away to school and she couldn't get over that. One of the first things was her roommate was standing there drinking a Diet Coke. And it took me a moment because she doesn't say anything. She says, I couldn't take my eyes off the Diet Coke my roommate was drinking. And I thought, what? Oh, yeah. It took me a little while to remember that that was a thing. Because, I mean, she had no qualms that this was how life was.
Oh, absolutely. Like, a couple of the notes I took on here, obviously, if you are, quote unquote, not homeschooled, but not homeschooled, you know, your education was lacking. And I'm not saying anything about being homeschooled. No. I'm talking about her specific situation. But when she went away to college and got in, her fellow students were super surprised because she wasn't familiar with what the Holocaust was.
Oh, yeah.
She didn't know who Martin Luther King was. She didn't know that Europe was a continent and not a country. I mean, there were just really basic things that you're like, wow.
And yet she had studied and gotten herself into college.
Right.
And even gotten a scholarship or a partial scholarship and grants and things because she was, you know, she was very intelligent and able to just do that and separate that from what her actual knowledge is. And Yeah.
I think the cool thing about it, too, was is that her, as she started progressing, that her professors and teachers and stuff, they realized right away what talent she had and you know, how smart she was, and to really help her progress that.
So that's really nice, too. Yeah, that is. That she got very lucky with that people, what's the word, you know, recognized that in her and took the time to.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So our drink today, because when I looked up Mormon cocktails. Hey, don't yell at me. Don't tell me how offensive I am. But we ended up with all mocktails. So right now we are drinking an all natural sugar cane ginger root beer. So
awesome.
Yeah.
It's really delicious.
It is. It's sparkling and it's delicious. And I haven't personally drank anything that's like a soda in a long time. So this is actually really good.
Yeah, it's kind of fun, especially when we share it and it's like not so much sugar at all.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there you go. There you go. So we don't have any snacks. We don't have any happy hour food this month, but we do have our mocktail.
Absolutely.
Our ginger root beer. So it's
we're definitely
good.
Not going to give that up.
No.
Before I forget, next month we are going to read, we're kind of switching it up a little bit, and we are going to read some fiction. It's actually some science fiction. It is a book called Red Rising. Some of you may have heard of it. It's called by Pierce Brown, and it is the first in a trilogy. Is there a specific name for the first in a trilogy?
I don't know. Because, I mean, you have a book, and then you have a sequel, and then you have a prequel. But yeah. I don't know. I think it's just the first in
the first in the trilogy.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've already read it. It's super interesting. Please feel free to read it over the next month and call in and chat with us next month about it.
And we love all the phone calls we get. We really appreciate it.
As you can tell, the phone has been ringing off the hook because people are so excited to talk to us, April.
Yes, because we're talking about the book Educated. By
Tara Westover.
Yes, and it's a memoir, and it is pretty darn good. It was very definitely an interesting read. It kept you going. You know, she starts out as the youngest of seven, being homeschooled, kind of by preppers there in Idaho. She doesn't get any formal schooling until she actually gets to BYU, which I didn't even know could happen. I mean, but she passed the test and. You know, she said she was homeschooled and they took that into stride and she got into BYU. And then she ended up going to a summer program, right? At Cambridge?
And I don't know all the details. I just know that she earned a master's degree from the University of Cambridge.
Yeah. So she went to a summer program in Cambridge and really excelled at that. And that was, and then she came back and then she was going to school in Boston. It was just amazing.
She was all over. What I have here is... She went to Brigham Young and then she got a master's degree from University of Cambridge. She was a visiting fellow at Harvard and then she returned to Trinity College where she earned a doctorate in intellectual history in 2014, 5 years ago.
Wow, that's pretty
smarty
crazy.
Pants.
Yeah, right?
I think, the interesting thing about this book is, of course, you know, truth is, everyone is subjective, right? Everyone's truth is perception. You can just tell me which number you want to play. You can just tell me number 8. I got you. That everyone's perception is different for truth, but that, you know, her family tends to go back and forth. Like we said, the three children who quote unquote became educated and went to school, they didn't turn their back on their family, but they kind of walked away and created boundaries to create a new life and raise their children differently. But the other kids kind of go back and forth. Her one sister, you know, wants to confront her dad about some of the abuse from one of the brothers and, you know, talks to Tara about it and they're on the same page. And then all of a sudden she changes her mind. It doesn't want to do it anymore and decides not to. And you think it's interesting to see some of those dynamics.
Yeah. I mean, that's that hold that the father has over them. Definitely. And then it was interesting because there were times that he let her do things that he seemed very against. She showed a great talent with singing and started performing in local theater in this, you know, small town that they lived in and got the lead roles in these plays. And at first he was completely against it. And then he was in the front row of every performance. And
yeah, he changed his mind on certain things, which was interesting. I can't. Yeah. It's been, like I said, it was like 2 months ago when I read the book, so I can't remember specifics. But just kind of like that, like being against, completely against an idea and then kind of coming around to it and it being okay. And I feel like that's a lot of people do that. But he had such a strong personality and was so hard-headed and vigilant that it was interesting to see when he would make those changes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it does make, I mean, I guess that's just the, you know, because then of course he said that because she had God's gift, it was a gift from God and it should be shared. So, I mean, that was his reasoning for himself.
I like how he decided what things were God's gifts. Or,
oh, of course.
You know, God, you know. Hmm.
Yeah.
Although I have to say, when he caught on fire and you thought he was going to die, I mean, he does not go into the hospital. And that would, I thought that would be the, I thought he would break on that.
Yeah.
Nope, that didn't happen.
Yeah. No, it was good. I enjoyed the book very much. And so, okay, so we've just got a couple of minutes left. So let's talk again about what is the book we're going to be reading?
The book we're going to be, first of all, 1 out of 5, okay. 5 being the best. Oh. Read this one.
Okay, well, I like to say like memoir style. So, right?
Okay,
like,
yeah. If we're reading memoirs.
We're reading memoirs. I would definitely give it a 4. Do I give too high a grade?
No, I was going to say a 4 or 5. It could, because it wasn't boring at all. As a memoir, sometimes they can get lofty and like, oh, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
I mean, this was really gritty.
Yeah. I could even give it a 4.5.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So next month, we are going to be reading Red Rising. It is the first book in a trilogy. I don't know if we're going to read the other two, but I'm going to let April read this one and see how she feels, and then we'll decide further.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. So we are, okay, I love this because I love that we started in January. So this is our 7th show.
Yes, I know. It's so easy.
I know. Yay. So read the book and make sure you call in. And
second Monday of the month, 4:30. Get lit.
It's easy to remember. It's the second Monday of the month at 4:30. Why wouldn't you know when that is?
I mean, I know you're listening all the time anyway.
Right.
This so you true. Probably don't even have to write it down your calendar. But make sure to give us a call because we want to hear from you.
Yeah. Well, thank you for listening. And book, I forgot. We want to say belated happy birthday to you.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Thank you so very much.
Happy birthday, bud.
Oh, you're a sweetheart. We'll see you next month.
All right. Bye-bye, everyone.